Second Corinthians. Just want to thank the worship team. Thank you. Amen for your ministry, Praise the Lord. Come on, we could do better than that. Come on, thank you very much. Hallelujah. If I tell you all the story, I was up here just now thinking, man, I don't know about you, but sometimes I have some really tough weeks, you know. And sometimes the one place I feel that when Dee was praying, she mentioned the word of refuge. And I said, geez, that's like coming to church on a Sunday. And I was up here just now saying to myself, maybe I need to live in church. How many people feel like that sometimes? Because sometimes it's like a refuge here. Praise the Lord. Because then you got to go back out there in that big, bad world. Amen. But anybody know, this would be like an oasis for us. Amen. And then we go out there in that world. Amen. And we exhibit, we demonstrate, and we glorify God. It's good to come together. Praise the Lord. But out there is where we do the damage to the kingdom of darkness. Amen. The world needs us out there. Amen. So as you get charged, as you get refilled, you get encouraged. Praise the Lord. Know that what happens here happens out there in your own house too. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me move on. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to read from verse 4 to 6. I'm going to read it from the Amplified version. Just give me a little bit on the monitor. I know not many people like to hear my voice, but I like to hear mine sometimes. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And we're going to continue the series that we're in, the power of the mind. Amen. The power of a renewed mind. And today's title is called Mind Wars. Praise God. Somebody say mind wars. Mind conflicts. Anybody ever have them stuff going on in your head? You ever felt like you're losing your mind? That can literally happen. You could lose your mind if something else has it. Anyway. That's the whole different message right there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 to 6. And the word of God reads like this. It says, the weapons of our warfare are not physical, they're not carnal. They're not weapons of flesh and blood. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses, for the tearing down of strongholds. We are destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought. Somebody say every thought. Tell your neighbor, not some thoughts. Say every thought and purpose captive to the obedience of Christ. We're taking every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We're taking every thought that would dare come in to conflict, to have the audacity, amen, to be against or be counteractive to what God says. Somebody say every thought. And making it obedience to Christ. Being ready to punish every act of disobedience when our obedience as a church and individually is complete. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come before you today and we just thank you for the grace of God. We thank you for our salvation. We thank you for that thing which has been already accomplished in us, Heavenly Father, that thing that is resident, that is internalized. And we pray, Lord, for sensitivity to you. You said, Lord, that we ought to work out our destiny, work out our future, work out the very thing that you have deposited already in us with fear and trembling, not to be indifferent or careless, Heavenly Father, with that which you've called us to do, accomplish, and execute here on earth. May we be just that, circumspect in all of our doing. Fear and trembling, Lord, carefulness, thoughtfulness, application. Help us, Lord, to be the very epitome of those very words. As we live and walk and move and breathe in and of you, as we preach this gospel and live it in the precious, wonderful name of Jesus, have your way in this place. Let it be divine inspiration. Let there be boldness. Let there be conviction. But most of all, let there be the Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, saturating and arresting men's and women's hearts, Heavenly Father, our very lives. Speak to us intimately and personally in Jesus' name. And everyone said? Amen. And everyone said? Amen. Before you see that, I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, break the pattern and establish the flow. Come on, tell them again. Say, break the pattern and establish the flow. Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't know what's going to happen today. All I know that God is good. How many people want a breakthrough today? How many people would rather God get the breakthrough than you get the breakthrough? Because when God gets the breakthrough, amen, it's a breakthrough for us. It's a permanent breakthrough. Sometimes we come before God and we think we know what we want, but let's let God get what he wants. Amen. Say, God, breakthrough in my life. God bless all five of us. Somebody say, God, breakthrough in my life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, with the series, today's title is called Mind Wars. And I just reminded us just now to tell your neighbor that you've got to break a pattern and establish a flow. Now, we know that every war, amen, must be fought somewhere. And somebody say battlefield. Now, battlefield is the place where a battle or a war is fought. And it's where also where we have a battlefield. We have a war zone, shall we say, where we actually engage the enemy. We actually engage Satan. Now, I'm not one to be overly focused upon the devil. All right. But the Bible does say that we are not to be ignorant of the enemy's devices. But we're not going to make a whole religion of demonology or satanic. We don't want to give him too much attention because he's not really worth that much attention because he's only, you know, a little thing. Amen. But the Bible says we ought not to be ignorant of his devices. And sometimes you got to give a bit of focus. How many people have ever held a gun? Okay, let me not go there. Hang on a minute. Let me try something else. You've seen snipers on TV, and they have this telescopic sight, and when they're aiming for something, people know they've got to get the whatever they're aiming for within the crosshairs before they can pull the trigger. So to some degree in our lives, we have to like direct ourselves and aim and be able to spot the enemy. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. So don't, we're not going devil hunting. I don't believe in going devil hunting. I believe in pursuing God. And as you pursue God, you're going to come up against some devils. Amen. It's a natural byproduct. When you go after God and you seek to do God's will, amen, you're going to come into contact with the devil. And then you can dispossess him, do whatever God's tells you. Anyway, just step on. How many people know the devil has been defeated? Yeah, somebody say defeated. Now, that doesn't mean he walks around on his knees. Praise the Lord. You get that one when you get home. All right. Defeated, no feet. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Okay. Yeah. God bless me to be a preacher and a comedian. Okay. I get it. It's all right. Amen. So we're giving a little bit of attention, just enough for us to take careful aim before we pull the trigger. Praise the Lord. So we engage Satan, we engage his demons, amen, and his influence in our mind. When boxers compete with each other, they do it in a ring. Footballers compete on a pitch, amen. Unless you're a Tottenham supporter, they don't do much competing. But anyway, tennis players compete, amen, on the court. The place where we meet the enemy is in the mind, in our heart, not necessarily our intellect, amen. Our intellect, our intelligence, that's part of our mind, but that's not the be-all and the end-all of our mind. Our mind is really the center of who we are, the center of our will, our character, our emotions, our affections, our feelings, our desires, our thoughts, our appetites. The word mind in Greek is called cardia, and it means the very heart and the very substance of our being. So when and we understand from last week that it's the mind that must be renewed. Every part of our mind, it's the mind that must be aligned. It is the mind that must be inspired. It is with the mind that we have faith. Amen. Many times we want to have faith up here. We want to put God in the box, but it starts here. The Bible says that we must that we first turn to God. Somebody say, turn to God. And then the veil is lifted. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3:16 says, turn to the Lord. Then the veil is taken away. Amen. That basically tells us then that we don't believe God with intellect. Amen. We do get a degree of clarity and understanding and revelation after we've turned to God with our hearts. He says we've got to turn to God, then the veil is lifted. In other words, sometimes we want to understand up here in our faith, but the Bible tells us that understanding comes later. Sometimes we want to understand everything. Well, before I really trust God and step out, I need to understand. I need to understand how he stretched that thing out and the seas parted. I need to know this. I need to understand if I do this and he does, but how did that happen? How could he raise from the dead? And how many people know you can't put God in a box? And our minds are very finite boxes. Amen. There's only so much they can hold. Amen. If our minds were that good, guess what? Well, we won't be working some of the jobs we'll be working now. Yeah, praise. I'm quickly moving on. Amen. We'll have degrees, doctorates, we'll have masters. So tell your neighbor, your mind is a box. It holds some, but it don't hold that much. Praise the Lord. So it's the mind. It's the mind. There's a war in our mind. The battle takes place there. So we've got to learn to respond to God with our minds, with our heart. When I say minds, heart, I'm not talking about the brain. Let's not get it mixed up. Even if I get it mixed up, I don't want you to get it mixed up. Thank you. Because you know what happens to me out here sometimes. Amen. Somebody says strongholds. So we are told in the word of God, amen, that there could be something called strongholds. Strongholds can develop. A stronghold could be known as a pattern. Somebody say a pattern. Amen. A pattern of established thinking and false established reasonings. Amen. Strongholds. A stronghold, you would throughout the Bible, even in the world, when people wage war, amen, if they could find themselves a stronghold, they love strongholds. Amen. The people in the army, people in wars, they love strongholds because a stronghold is an established place where troops, where armies can go and consolidate themselves. Right, and then go out and do, is it forays, and go out and, you know what, yeah, let's stay here, we're in a stronghold, they can't get to us, and then they could go out when they want and attack and do what they want and accomplish what they want. For example, say this stage is a stronghold. This is a pattern. This has been put together with various planks of wood and board. But if it was just a single piece of wood, how many people know I won't be able to stand here? That single piece of wood can represent a fort. The enemy doesn't hide within forts. Because a fort, he can't do much with a fort. But if you get a whole set of forts put together that are contradictory to God's thoughts and to God's ways. Are you hearing me? That's what he could really consolidate himself in. A stronghold is an established set of patterns of thoughts and thinking that has been established within a mentality, a mindset, or someone's heart. And when we come to Christ, and even when we're with Christ, how many people know this? We can have strongholds. Praise God. We can have ideas, we can have philosophies, thoughts, amen. And so what the enemy does is when we can have these areas of our lives which he kind of parks up in. Stronghold of depression. Stronghold of fatalistic thinking. Stronghold of failure. Stronghold of once sick, you'll always be sick. Stronghold of you'll never make it. Just these strong, and sometimes the strongholds are just normal in terms of worldly thinking. In other words, a stronghold that this is it. Yeah, just the husband, the wife, the car, the house, and the white fence, and 2.4 children. This is it. Instead of, a stronghold of conformity to how the world thinks, instead of getting a kingdom mentality, which we spoke about last week. You know, that we need a kingdom mentality. How many people know we need a kingdom mentality? We don't just need to aim here. We God wants us to aim there. Jamie mentioned it today that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask. Somebody say ask or think. So that means that God wants to do more than what we can get into our prayer life. Amen. More than we can verbalize or articulate. God said, "Man, I got more for you." More than we can think or calculate or tabulate within our mind. More than we can think about. God is saying, "I want to do more in your life." Amen. Tell your neighbor he's able to do more than that you could ask or think. Praise the Lord. So the enemy can hide or go to work, should I say, through our thought life. And the Bible tells us that. Proverbs 23:7, as a man or woman thinks, so they are. It's as we think, so that we understand that the mind can become a gateway to the things of God. It become a gateway. Lift up your head, all ye gates, and let the King of glory come in. It is a gateway. Amen. And the mind is a key gateway. Joshua chapter 1, when God tells the children of Israel and Joshua, he says, listen, I want to take you guys into the promised land. I want you to go and spy out the land. And then he says, especially Jericho. Somebody said Jericho. Now, you would have thought Jericho was the biggest and the baddest city there. It wasn't. It was just strategically placed as a gateway. The way it was placed strategically, that if you didn't defeat this city, if you didn't take Jericho, you could go and take a million cities, but if you left Jericho alone, Jericho was so strategic that all Jericho had to do is flex its muscles, and whatever you have accomplished or whatever you have won in life, once Jericho begins to just flex its muscles, you'll lose everything because you didn't take out Jericho. You didn't take care. He says, especially Jericho, and we know that that's the first place that God sent them, Jericho. And the way that he told them to beat Jericho was quite systematic. Diligent and disciplined, trusting God, walking around this city with walls that were too high to breach and probably too deep to go underneath. Amen. And the Bible says that when the people of God got near to Jericho, that Jericho became tightly shut up. It consolidated itself. I want to tell you something. When the enemy knows that you're getting near to a breakthrough and God is bringing you somewhere, he's going to start to consolidate himself and shout and scream and tell you it's impossible. How dare you even think about coming up against this? We are here to stay. We ain't going nowhere. He's going to try and intimidate you. That's when you're going to hear. Could you imagine him walking around Jericho? If I had been the enemy, and I remember what it's like to be the enemy. Do you remember what it's like to be the enemy? Oh, pray. Yeah, you was born safe. Hallelujah. Yeah, if I had been the enemy and the people of God were walking around me, I'd have been, what are you doing? You ain't going to make it. He'll never get saved. She'll never get saved. You'll always be broke. You'll always be nothing. I'll be shouting out from the top of that wall at God's people and screaming at them and convincing them and persuading them, listen, you'll never make it. Go back to where you come from. Don't even try. Yeah, you lift your hands, but your God can't do it. But they had to walk around and not say nothing. That speaks about diligence. That speaks about discipline. That speaks about faith. Because if I had been the children of Israel, on the other side, the enemy's telling me, I might say two words. But diligence. They had a plan from God. And they walked around it. And they walked around it. And at the right time, God told them, now you can shout. And the walls came tumbling down. So Jericho represents a stronghold. It's a picture of a stronghold. It's a picture how something could be set up in our own minds. Something that if we don't identify first as contradictory to God, that if we don't deal with it, that we could be doing something else in our lives over here. And when the enemy gets ready to just move over here and flex too, it all comes tumbling down. Tell you neighbor, we've got to deal with Jericho. Dealing with strongholds in our lives, that they are actually defining moments, defining stages in our spiritual life. What is a defining moment? Defining moment is a time or a place where whatever takes place there is going to shape the future. It defines, it actually cuts out the shape, the type of shape that you have for your life. Strongholds actually can shape your future. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, we're going to learn how to flow. Jesus said in John 8, 31, 32, or 30, 31, he says, if you're truly my disciples, then you got to hold to the truth, and you will know the truth. You hold to my teaching, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He said, hold to the truth. How many people know sometimes we just see the truth, touch the truth, but we don't hold to it and flow in it? It's only when we begin to flow in it that we begin to experience the reality, the power of that truth. And then he says, the truth will what? Set you free. Liberate you. Amen. Not set you, not just set you free from something behind you, but liberate you into a destiny. Liberate you into your future. You hold to the truth. You hold to the truth. The devil says you are a failure and you've lived with that. It was prophesied over you from time you was a baby, from a child, you'll be this and that. But now Christ has come and says you're the head. Amen. You are success. You are prosperous. So you hold to that truth. You hold to that truth in spite and despite. You hold to that truth and you don't let it go. Amen. You don't just hold it today and let it know. You hold to it in the midst of every storm, every trial, every tribulation. You hold to it and then sooner or later something begins to break. Amen. The bricks in the wall begin to come tumbling down. Come on, somebody. And you begin to, your whole mindset, your whole mind, your whole heart, you know, your brain may say one thing and your heart says another thing, but sooner or later, everything will come into alignment. Your mind, your brain, your heart, your affections, your emotions, everything. Well, at some point, you're going to be able to give a shout because everything comes into alignment and you'll be one, you'll be whole, you'll be an integrous person and everything will say the same thing. I'm blessed. I'm a success. Breakthrough. Jericho has fallen. The stronghold has gone down. Oh, praise the Lord. This is good teaching. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible, we read that it says that what God is really trying to do then, he wants to get a hold of our faculties of how we reason, how we calculate, our thought process. Because, I mean, no, we're kind of conditioned to go with the negative. How easy is it to think down about ourselves? How easy is it to not believe? How easy is it to fear? How easy is it to aim down or to aim for the status quo and not aim upwards as God would have? How easy? Tell your neighbor, it's real easy. Tell your neighbor, you need to watch out for Herod and the Pharisees. Jesus warned us. He warns us in Mark chapter 8. Check this out. It says, Mark chapter 8, verse 4, it says, the disciples had forgotten to bring bread. How many people know they had lack? Except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. So they started discussing this with each other. What's he talking about? Is it because we ain't got no bread? We forgot the bread? I mean, what's up with pastor today? I mean, it's only one loaf of bread. What's the matter with him? Come on. So Jesus, aware of the discussion, he says, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Are your hearts still hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see? And ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember, tell your neighbor, do you remember? Say, can't you remember? And he goes on to say, when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of pieces did you pick up? Watch this. He fed 5,000. And he's asking them, how many baskets did you pick? He said, 12 baskets, they said. He said, when I broke the 7 loaves for 4,000 people, how many baskets of pieces did you pick up? This is the leftovers. They said, 7. And then he said, you still don't understand. What is he talking about? He's talking about a religious mentality and a worldly mentality. The Pharisees represent religion. We can come to church, we can do church, and just operate by out of the flow of God. He was trying to establish and remind them about a pattern how God moves in their life. He was trying to break the pattern of the world, of religious thinking. Here they are, he says, you know how Jesus says, you know how God is sometimes. You just be walking and a word will just drop in your spirit and you got to find where that fits. And that's basically what happened. They're walking along. He says, beware the yeast of the Pharisees and Herod. What's he talking about? Beware the influence of religion. Religion. You know, religion is, you know, is when we carry the Bible, but we don't read the Bible. We have this form of godliness, but we deny the expression of it working in and through our lives. You know, religion is when God gave us blessings with a pair of knees, but we never... Anyway, praise the Lord. Amen. Religion, when God give us a mouth and to bless his holy name, but we don't praise. We have this form of godliness, but we deny, we reject God being able to work in our lives and through our lives. We just don't believe. And the world, well, we know what the world says. Herod represents the world. The world says there's no God. That's nice and simple. I ain't got to break that one down. Amen. Herod is a man that says there's no God. I don't believe in no God. And the Pharisees said, we believe in God, but we don't like how God acts and operates. It's not like how we expected him to be, but we believe in God, and we're not going to accept him. We're going to reject him and do our own thing. So he says, beware of this mentality. Amen. He says, listen, guys, I fed 5,000 people, and we had leftovers from virtually nothing. I fed 4,000 people, and you saw this. You saw the miracle which has worked in your past life, in your history. And you saw this, and you experienced this. And yet still, you're tripping out because you're in lack, because you ain't got something. Still, you haven't caught, still you haven't broken that pattern and established a flow. You haven't come to understand the nature, accepted the nature of how God wants to flow in and through your lives. He said, still, I've done, he goes, listen, are your hearts that hard? Seeing, you can't see. Hearing, you're not hearing. How many people know God wants to reveal his nature to us? He wants to reveal, and we have to get it internalized. This is how God is going to move in my life. It has to be internalized within your heart. Too many times, has the church just been, everybody wants the preacher or the teacher or the evangelist, and we turn up in church or to these events, and we just want somebody to just pull a rabbit out of a hat. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. And God will pull a few rabbits out of a hat. But it's for a purpose. He'll work a few miracles for a purpose. He will show us acts, signs, and wonders so that his people can then catch it. Hey, this is the nature of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Psalms 103, verse 6 says this. Watch this. It says, the Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. Verse 7 says, he made known his what? His ways, his nature to Moses, but his acts to the sons of Israel. So Moses learned God's ways. He caught God's ways. He got in the flow. Somebody say the flow. Everything that he saw God do, amen, he caught it. He said, oh, this is God's nature. This is God's ways. Some people know we need to be like Moses. And it says that he made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the sons of Israel. This wasn't God choosing to say, well, I'm going to let you know my ways and you're just going to know my acts. No, but this basically translates as that's all the people wanted. They weren't interested in catching what God wanted to do in their lives. They didn't want to pay that price. They weren't receptive or hungry enough to say, you know what, yeah, this is what God's showing me. I want to flow in this. Some people know God wants to flow in your life. Flow in your life. They failed to learn, pick up and catch what God was doing or teaching them. Praise the Lord. Exodus 20, verse 18. The Bible says that when the people saw the thunder and the lightning, they heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke. They trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance. Say at a distance. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, you speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us, lest we will die. So all this stuff is taking place. There's a sense and a presence of God, a fearful presence of God, amen, a holiness. And they said to Moses, you know what, Moses? You go and speak to God and you come back and speak to us. We'll just stay over here. Yeah? Because we don't want God to speak to us in case we die. Moses said, don't be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God be with you, to keep you from sinning. Verse 21 says, the people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. I remember years ago, man, I went to this church, man. I said, God's given me a word to preach to this church. And the title is like this, God Dwells in Darkness. You could tell how that went there. All the theologians there. Right. What is taking place there? So here's God beckoning and wanting the people to draw close. He just didn't want Moses to know him personally and intimately. But the people are saying, nah, you go and read the Bible. You go and pay the price. You go and you come back and tell us what's what. But how many people know God wants a bit more than that from his people? God wants that intimate connect. God wants to flow in your life just as much as he wanted to flow in Moses' life. He wants to flow in my life just as much as he flowed in Moses' life. But because I saw it, I said, oh, we're going to die. How many people know it does take a bit of death to get with God? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31. The Apostle Paul writes and says, he says, I face death daily. He says, I die daily. Daily he died. How many people know what he was basically saying? Listen, I get into the presence of God each and every day. How many people know to get up and read your Bible is going to take a step of death? Come on, somebody. To fast and see God move in your life, it takes death. Even to say a prayer in a public place. Don't some of you feel like you're going to die because everyone is watching you? He says, every day I face death. Every time something negative, come on, some kind of sickness, disease, or lie, in order to stand by faith and reject it and deny it, it takes a death. It takes you stepping out and saying, you know what? I'm stepping into the presence of God. I'm going to believe God. How many people know? Paul says, every day I get in the presence of God. Every day I die. It takes death to engage God. But this, oh man, they all got darkness and it's cloudy. We're going to, how many people know, even when you're worshiping, do you know sometimes when the Holy Ghost and the Spirit and the music or whatever you want to call it begins to move you, you're there with your little one step, you know that you want to step out of your chair, come on and come to the altar and Yeah, but you don't want to die. God's over here in the darkness. I've never done it before. I don't know what it's like. I don't know what I'm going to experience. Remember, sometimes you miss out on God because you don't just say, you know what? You miss out on God. When you don't die, you're going to face death. We always want to choose where we want to die. We want those designer crosses on our back. You know, that's got a little groove so that we don't get any, you know, rough skin. Oh, well, we want to choose our own little gray side, or we want the line in our coffin to be this way. Listen, it don't matter where the place is, when you sense the time and the move of God, just step out and die. You gotta die. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be asking, what's all this got to do with strongholds and mindsets? I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to get back on course right now. Holy Ghost, help me. Somebody pray for me. Say, Jesus, help me. Hallelujah. Who is this devil anyway? I mean, tell me something. I mean, who is the opposite of God? Nobody. Don't answer it. Nobody's the opposite of God. Because for God to have an opposite must mean that somebody's on the same level as him. Amen? But you know, you and I, we rate the devil like he's the opposite of God. Come on. But when you really, really think about it, who is the opposite of God? Nobody. Because there ain't no one in his league, on his level. If anything, the devil's the opposite of Gabriel or Michael. Yeah. So how is it he gets this much kudos? Is that the right word? I'm trying, man. I'm from the ghetto. Give me a break, man. How does he get this much light? Ask me why. How? We give it to him. We empower his lies and his deceit. He says something. Oh, now I'm back on track. He builds a fort life in us, and he says this, and he says that, and we allow him to build a stage from which he's going to run his campaign. And then we vote for him. And some of us even go on the campaign trail with him. And we're actually speaking for him. Oh, you want to hear me now? We're actually speaking for him, because I don't even know death and life is in the power of your tongue. We're actually out there drumming up votes for him. We've let him build this stage when God's saying something completely different. Somebody said forts. What is a fort? What is a spirit? Man, this is all this kind of like spiritual things. To me, this is how I simplify it for myself. You can call it a devil, a demon, call it what you're, just a fort. All I know is that sometimes something invisible, spirit, amen, could have an evil intention. All right, let me just simplify. We could get into that, and then obviously then it goes to another level. It could be inspired from our flesh. And we know already that sometimes if the devil didn't exist, we'd still have a bunch of issues. We know already we give that devil a real bad ride. I know he's a devil and everything, but come on now. If he didn't exist, we'd still be banging trouble. The Bible says all kinds of stuff comes from our flesh, even sorcery and witchcraft and this and that. How many of you used to believe that if the devil weren't alive, that we'd be all right? Hell no. We still need Jesus. So we can get these thoughts, and the devil can't read minds, but he can read us. And our thoughts, our wrong thoughts, can almost like, you know, could be like a signal for the, move in this direction. He watches what we read, what we watch, what we look at, what we peep at. Hello. What we get up to. He's had thousands of years to study us. Maybe not thousands of years to study you, but he studied humanity, you know what I mean? Yeah? Praise the Lord. I've got to find somewhere to land this and get out here. I've got so much here, man. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we have these thoughts. And then God comes with his word and his doctrine. You know, Matthew 16. God comes with his word and his doctrine. And we need to be able to discern. Somebody say discern. We need to be able to recognize what's of God and what's of Satan? What's of the devil? Amen? I'm going to try and finish up here and not get you a lot vexed. Matt, you at Matthew 16? Yeah. Praise the Lord. It says from Matthew 16 to 23, it's just going to paraphrase it. I think much of us are very much familiar. It's where Jesus is walking with his disciples. He says to the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And they say, some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist, some say you're one of the prophets. Some people know that there's a lot of thinking, there's a lot of thought, and there's a lot of doctrine, there's a lot of beliefs out there. And then he says, but what do you believe? Who do you say that I am? And then Peter pipes up and says, he says, "You are Christ, you are the Messiah, you are the Son of God." So then Jesus gets rid of that side and he says, "Peter, flesh and blood, you got this by the Spirit of the living God. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." How many people know you there comes a time in your life you begin to sense and discern, you begin to pick up and tune in to a divine airwaves. And most of the time is we're like, and you tune into everybody, just work, and then you pick up God somewhere. We do that, yeah? We've got all this stuff going on, but then every now and again, you're going to pick up God. And then you've got to be able to identify it. discern, this is God. Read his word, discern, that this is what God's word says. And especially when you identify, you know what, and the only way to spot a stronghold many, many, many times is to know God's word. Because you ain't going to know a lie until you know the truth. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. The Bible says that you'll be able to punish when your obedience is fulfilled. In other words, you got to get with God, you got to get your identity. You got to know who you are. You got to know what he's about and what you're about and submit to that. Agree with God. Say yes and amen before you can deal with strongholds in your life. Praise the Lord. That's good right there. But that's to submit to God. Man, you get people, man, trying to sort this out, trying to sort that out, and they haven't even got a good standing with God in their lives. I was talking to someone I've talked with a few people recently, and then they go through stuff. They're trying to fight the devil, and it's only when they go through stuff they're wondering whether they're saved. Well, you ain't going to beat the devil like that, are you? If you don't know whether you don't know where you stand with God. That tells me more that their so-called salvation is more based on works than faith in Christ, than the finished work of Christ. But that's another whole thing. We'll get into that another time. So you gotta know who you are. You gotta know God's truth first before you can handle or destroy the works of the devil in your life. That's a good place to say amen. Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven, you've tapped in, amen, you've heard this by the Spirit of God. And then he goes on to say, you know what, and because of this revelation that you receive, as you receive the planks of wood, as you receive the truth, as you receive the doctrine to your heart, and you believe it. And you believe it, man. You recognize it. You discern it. He says, you know what? I will build my church. I will construct you. I will establish you. And the gates of hell will not prevail. Somebody said the gates won't prevail. He said, there's one thing about coming to the kingdom. We get the keys to the kingdom. And I heard it once says, but then we need the keys of the kingdom. It's one thing coming into the kingdom. But what about all the promises that God's got for you throughout the kingdom? We're gonna see the will of God, the good, the pleasing will of God take place in your life, take place through your life as our mind is renewed with truth, with the revelation of God, and that revelation is illuminated as to where it sits in our lives and how we need to apply it with wisdom. Are you hearing me? This is why it's so important that as we leave here today, we leave here with appreciation for God's word and the things of God. I mean, we can shout, we can jump, we can spit, amen, and then come back next week and do it all over again and have this form of godliness and spend the whole week rejecting what's going to bring about the change and the transformation in our lives and in this city. How do you know God wants to build this church? He says, I want to build my church. I want to build my people. I want to build my sons. I want to build my daughters. I want to build you, he says, so that the gates of hell will not prevail. You see what happens is that God blesses us. And just like the promised land, he says, right, before you I set the promised land. And then we have to live it out. But the enemy is there with his lies, with his strongholds. But God says, these will not prevail. They will not hold you back. You've got them beat. You've got them lit. Ain't that a blessing? I said, ain't that a blessing? Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, don't be an atheist. Bring God into the picture. Too many believers live like atheists. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord, what? With all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him. Check in with him. Things you're going to do in your life, pray about. Get God's leading. Get God's direction. Get God's mind. Get God's heart. Get what God thinks. And he will direct. That direct there is more than just point the way. Oh, you didn't hear that. When you get the spirit of the text, and when we read it, it says that he will direct you. Yeah, that's the way to go. No, when he says he will direct, that means he's backing it up with power. Oh, praise the Lord. When you get God's mind and God's heart, amen, you bring God into the equation. The Bible says he will direct your path. He ain't just pointing the way. He's leading the way, and he's backing up the way. But when we leave God out, we leave out his word concerning our circumstances, then strongholds will prevail. Amen. Go ahead and stand with me today. Bible says, don't give place. Don't give the devil an opportunity. How many know he's had enough of that already? He's had enough of that in our lives already. I believe God wants us to be encouraged this day. He told Joshua, meditate in my word day and night. Acquaint yourself with my ways. Acquaint yourself with my truth. Familiarize yourself with who I am to you. The children of Israel, that first generation, they died in the wilderness. They died in a land that they were only supposed to pass through. They were only supposed to pass through where they died. Let us not be a generation that expires where we're supposed to just pass through.